Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. In just 3 little months, open enrollment for healthcare will be knocking on your door. And as our guest Dan Wiseman says, you gotta be ready to do some pretty good adulting to figure out this whole healthcare thing. Find out what you need to know in this episode.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey, listen up. Did you know you could actually negotiate your hospital bill? Yes, you can actually barter with the hospital in some way, shape, or form. And did you know that the healthcare plan you pick this year could have a big impact on your financial future? Not having a plan right for you could easily drain your emergency fund and more, in a very extreme situation, of course, or could save you a lot of cash on the flip side if you're thinking about having a baby. There's so much to consider, which is why Dan, a seasoned journalist, has devoted an entire podcast to helping you figure your way through the healthcare system. An Arm and a Leg podcast has become a regular on my rotation. I love all the episodes. It's funny, it's scary, and at the end of the day, it's really all just about empowering you. Dan, I am so excited to have you join us on the podcast talking about everybody's favorite subject, healthcare.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, but I know it's a bit of a bummer of a topic for a lot of us. It's so scary.
It is so scary, you know, and you say in episode 1 of your new series of your podcast, An Arm and a Leg, that you got to be ready to do some pretty good adulting to figure out this whole healthcare thing, which I love that. Like, what makes healthcare, especially in 2019, like so freaking scary and hard to figure out?
I mean, you don't need me to tell you, right? It's horrible.
Right. It's just, yes.
It's just horrible. I mean, you know, an economist published a paper. This is like, I guess, more than 15 years ago. And the title of the paper was, "It's the prices, stupid." Like, everything's really expensive. You know, right. You hear the stories of like, oh, yeah, this, you know, they were in the hospital and they gave them a Tylenol. It was $8. It's like, yeah, no, I can get a lot of Tylenol for $8. Like, what is the deal? And yeah, I've been learning as I go about kind of how things got this way. But right. I mean, like, whatever, spare the history lesson, it's just awful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I started to do a few episodes on this show about healthcare, obviously. And the feedback I got really made me queasy. You know, most people, obviously, they don't know what they've got. And I had someone share the story with me that they closed their eyes and picked a plan during open enrollment because they had no idea what to pick. And they ended up picking something with, you know, like a $5,000 out of pocket deductible. And of course, that year they ended up in the hospital and actually had to declare bankruptcy because they didn't know they could negotiate with the hospital, you know, on and on and on. I mean, there's so many of these stories. And I would imagine on your show, you just hear some things that just are probably like so hard to fathom. And yet people actually are living with this.
Yes. Yeah. It's super scary. And there's, I mean, that was just an interesting story of like, oh, I closed my eyes and picked a plan and whoa, it had a $5,000 deductible and whoa, okay, I'm in the hospital. And ooh, that $5,000, that's on me. Like that's a world a lot of us live in. I mean, especially because like, you know, not everybody has a choice of what your health insurance plan is going to be. Like you work someplace and the boss is like, here's your health insurance plan. And that idea of having a deductible that's like, you know, in the thousands of dollars, it's not uncommon at all. And it's more and more common all the time. And most of us, so like, it's something I like to talk to folks who do personal finance stuff. Cause it's kind of a question for you of like, well, okay. Like this is the question in my life. It's like, all right. My budget, I gotta set aside money to pay for health insurance. Okay. And then like, what does it not cover? Right. Like, what is it? Like, what does it not cover? Like, is the deductible $1,000? Is it $5,000? Is it $10,000? Cause whatever that number is, I got to have that amount set aside. I got to know where I could get that amount if I needed it. Cause you just don't know. You don't know when you're going to trip over a rock on a hike and, you know, kabam, you know, suddenly that $10,000 is like a bill that you're supposed to deal with. So, I mean, it's like kind of a question for me to you is like, yeah, how do you advise people to deal with that as someone who's, you know, you're in the business of like, okay, let's get your finances in order. Let's build you some wealth. This is an area where it's like, you know, that's a routine worry. Like if you're like, well, we got to set aside, you know, X $1,000, we want you setting that aside for your retirement. But first, you know, make sure you've got $10,000 set aside in case you tear your ACL at a soccer game.
Well, I think it's so interesting because particularly, I mean, obviously, the younger you are, the more you have this edge about you that nothing's ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you might have the healthcare plan with the $5,000, whatever it is for you deductible, but that's not going to be you. That number for a lot of people is completely irrelevant. Like it has no meaning in their life unless they have a friend or a family member who has had something happen or come up just kind of crazy out of the blue and they've had to figure out how to come up with this big chunk of money or end up owing a big chunk of money, you know, that they're going to pay for years. It just becomes like another debt for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's this crazy like tipping point because nobody wants to actually like set aside $5,000 for this that just sit there. Yeah. There's so many other things, you know, we'd rather travel with that money or do whatever with that money. Yeah. But you're right. Like that's a real, I mean, it's a real thing for all of us because we just, we just never know when something's going to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, there's multiple categories, right? There's like one, you could like, you know, tear a muscle, play in a game. And then suddenly that $5,000 is looking at you. That's if things are going, you know, kind of according to plan, like you've got health insurance and it covers the doctor that you ended up getting shipped to. But like, there's all kinds of other scenarios, right? Where like somehow you end up seeing a provider or you like, this is very common. Like if you ended up in an emergency room, there's places where the doctors are not on staff at the hospital and they're not, even if the hospital's like, we take your insurance, this doctor that you saw didn't, or this anesthesiologist who got involved in your care doesn't.
Yeah.
And now you've got a bill from that person and it's more than $5,000. It could, you know, could be anything. I mean, you know, we see these stories all the time about like, someone got socked with a $100,000 bill for surgery after insurance. So there's that, or, you know, people get, God forbid, really, really sick. And, you know, then now you're looking at like, well, what insurance calls my out of pocket maximum for the year. And again, like, that's only if everybody that you see takes your insurance. So there's the kind of $5,000, you know, question. There's the $100,000 question. And then there's also just like the, like a lot of people have, even as young people, chronic health conditions. You know, I'm doing an episode right now about insulin. You know, people with type 1 diabetes, you know, frequently are diagnosed as children and need insulin every day to survive. And, you know, I talked with a young woman for this episode who, you know, she's working a professional job. She went to a good school, worked for a law firm, has health insurance. And she's telling me how she rations her insulin, how she stretches it, skips doses, you know, to be able to, you know, make rent and pay her car note and whatever. And, you know, it's not, and like people die doing that. So
absolutely.
And so, you know, these are things that people are on. Insulin's like the extreme example. But, you know, and a quarter of people with, just as I'm learning this, like a quarter of people with type 1 diabetes, I'd say they have done this. And that's hundreds of thousands of people, just this one illness. And there's like tons of other things that people have. And like, you just, like, I bumped into a guy I know who's like, yeah, my kid takes ADHD meds. And suddenly the insurance changed and they're like $400 a month. You know, it's like, I didn't really budget for that. You know, I was budgeting for like having insurance where I paid $10 a month for these meds. Like this is, so there's, I mean, a lot of us have routine stuff where suddenly maybe the routine stuff has not been a financial problem till now. And then wake up one day and suddenly it's a big problem.
And this is like the silent wealth killer. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's when you share stories like that, I mean, it's a reality for so many people and it doesn't matter what age you are. Yeah. And it's just something I say in general. We don't talk about money in general, but certainly if there's something wrong with us or if we have one of those stories of, you know, expensive meds, like we don't talk about that with really anybody. Yeah. So nobody knows what's going on underneath. But I mean, healthcare and the cost of healthcare are leading especially some young people to suicide even, you know, when they have that compared, you know, combined with student loan debt. Like it's just too much. And the crazy thing for me, I mean, we could probably go on forever about this, but the crazy thing for me is like, we're supposed to live in the wealthiest nation. And we're supposed to know how to do some of these things. And yet it just keeps going, getting worse.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea of the silent wealth killer, I think it's absolutely true. And I think you're right. Like, we're not used to talking about our bodies and what's wrong with them. Right. I mean, it's not like, yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, not every conversation wants to go that way. And money also is something we don't always talk about. So yeah, put them together. And it's a lot of suffering, a lot of silence. And it sucks. And it does lead this question. I mean, I get, you know, I get a lot of email from people about the show. And one whole category of people I get email from are people in other countries. I mean, I would say gloating, just like, oh man, you people are idiots. I had surgery last year and like my financial life did not change at all. You know, I'm just like, yeah, thanks.
It's mind blowing. It really is. I mean, again, like this could be a whole hour episode on that one topic alone, but it really is, you know, and I think especially when you're younger and you're dealing with not a great kind of work economy out there for you, and then you've got the student loan debt and you've got the healthcare thing. I mean, it's just like, at some point, it's almost just laughable because, I mean, it's like, how do you ever get ahead?
Wait a minute. So like, it's a bit of a rule on my show that like, it can't be too big of a bummer because no one will ever tune in again. And I feel like we're in danger of steering
right.
too far into
we're
this.
We're in danger of going too far in bummer.
Yeah.
We need to pull ourselves out. So I'm curious, like, what sparked the idea of this podcast for you?
Well, I'm a reporter and I've been a reporter a long time. And this has seemed to me like, you know, a super important story. And for a long time, right? This isn't new territory. And so I would pitch people I worked for. I would just be like, this story is amazing because it's an everything story, right?
Yeah.
It's a super intimate story, which because I do radio, those are especially, you know, about people's bodies, people really making tough, very personal choices. It's a very dramatic story because of the range of things that can happen to people. It also features like people living their everyday lives, just like how do you make it through the day? And it goes straight up to the top. Right. In terms of our right. economy, this is a giant sector of our economy. This affects 100% of us. And, you know, it's a matter of big political debates. So this is like this is 100% everything story. Plus, there's all kinds of, for a nerd like me, there's all kinds of crazy technical things to understand at every level, which can be kind of fascinating, which is always fun. So I've been pitching this kind of thing to people I worked for. And they were all like, that's kind of a cool idea. We get pitched a lot of cool ideas. We hired you to do this other thing. Just keep doing that. Stay in your lane until we tell you otherwise.
Just be quiet over here.
Well, you know, you're doing a great job. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll tell you if we want to start some crazy new project
right.
that you're pitching. And so as it happened, you know, I left a job a couple of years ago and two things. One was I was like, oh, man, I might need another career because I'm a reporter. And this is not a field where jobs are really growing. I'm committed to living in one place. I've got certain kinds of things I really like to do, like professionally. There's like a limited number of, well, I don't know if there's a job for me now when I need it, the next job. It might make sense to go out on my own. There's lots of work, but like, oh, my wife has her own business. Where's the health insurance going to come from? That's been my end of the deal. So it was a big crossroads. It was like, oh man, do I need a new career? Cause someone needs to have a job with health insurance. And we had a while because there's a thing called COBRA where you can pay you can pay for health insurance from your old employer for a while. And so we were like, okay, we're going to go on COBRA and figure it out. And I started, I started talking to people about this, about doing this on my own. I was like, this is a big story. I've been telling people that this is worth investing in and there's an audience for it. Let's test it out. And so that was it, right? It was like, I was like, well, before I go, I don't know, learn some totally new set of skills that take some other job that's gonna take a while, right? Like that'll be an investment in that. Let's see if I could make this thing go because this is the thing I want to cover and it is like front and center in our own lives. So we got a little personal story of our own to tell here. So that's how I ended up doing this.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I was recently interviewed for an article on how do you fund fertility treatments, because these treatments are pricey. If you know anything about infertility, you know that there is a very large price tag in just trying to have a baby, whether it's IVF, IUI, egg freezing, you name it. All of those procedures can drain your emergency fund, and I think it's just really scary for a lot of people to try to think about how in the world do you fund this. So I thought, let's talk about some of the places that I mentioned in the article that I'd suggest you start looking to come up with $10,000 or more, because that's the reality these days. Is for most of the advanced, I would say IVF, egg freezing, egg donor, all of those really more complex infertility treatments, you're looking at $10,000 easily. I know when Jeff and I were having a lot of infertility issues, we've had a couple miscarriages, we looked into some of these treatments, and personally for me, it just wasn't what I wanted to do, how I wanted to spend my money. But that is me personally. You might have a completely different viewpoint on that. And the idea of having to come up with that type of cash for a lot of people is just death-defying, especially if you have student loans or any other type of debt, let alone if you're just trying to live life. I mean, let's be realistic. If you want to go on vacations, or you want to buy a house, or you need a new car, whatever it might be for you, that's a lot of cash to come up with. And so I like to think about it, where can you best leverage your money? That's the way I like to back into really any money decision. When you're trying to figure out what's the best way to fund something or to pay something off, it's the idea of where can you leverage money in the most efficient way, meaning where do you have little to no interest rate? Where do you have favorable terms for you if in case you need to pay off a loan? Just basically, how are you going to come out of the situation in the best way possible? And the first place I always suggest is employer benefits. So does your employer offer something for infertility? Does your health insurance plan offer some sort of benefits for infertility? A lot of the healthcare plans actually do now. A lot of them don't. But there are some plans I've seen that offer one or two rounds of IVF. I mean, that is a huge savings. I would say if you're thinking about it and you have that type of health plan, like, go for it for all the rest of us that don't have that type of coverage. No, I'm not going to pressure you into having a kid, but you get what I'm saying. Another option is to talk to your parents, see if you can get some sort of parental loan. So you can actually gift in 2019 up to $15,000. So each parent could gift up to $15,000 without any gift tax, or they could set up a low interest loan with you. This is going to be more favorable than any other type of loan that you're going to try and get, because they're your parents. Hopefully the terms are very nice terms, but that's definitely an option if your parents have that type of cash, or your grandparents. It might be something great. Just, I know it's tough to ask these questions, but if the difference between you trying this or not trying this is asking that question, again, I'm going to say go for it. What's the worst case? No, and you're back where you started from. There are also financing options available at fertility clinics. A lot of them have different loan programs. There is the CARE credit card that you can look at. It's going to have a higher interest rate, but again, that's an option for you. You could look at taking a 0% interest type deal on your credit card. But again, I would be really careful because most of those limit that 0% offer. So if you can't pay that off in that specific period of time, that could just put you right back into the high interest rate. And so I don't want that to happen to you. Of course, if you have a health savings account or a flexible spending account, that's a great place to look if you've set aside some cash. I would caution you against taking a loan from your 401k or taking money out of your IRA or your Roth IRA, just because there's tangled web with these. With the 401k, you're going to have a loan and you're going to have an interest rate. On your traditional IRA and your Roth IRA, you're going to have tax and penalties. And so it just gets a little stickier. But I understand if that is the only place you need to turn to, that could be an option. So what I want you to do if you're in this situation is just to jot down all of the different options available to you and the pros and cons of each of these different options and think about, where can I get the best leverage for my money? And what makes the best sense for me? Where am I going to come out as much ahead as I can possibly come out in this particular situation? I think that's such a great story. And I mean, I never imagined that I would love podcasting like I do. I've been doing it for about 4.5 years now. Wow. But what do you think about podcasts? Like, why do they make such a great platform to demystify and talk about stuff that's tough, like healthcare and money?
Yeah. Well, that's such a good question. I mean, I think they're intimate, right? I mean, most of us are listening alone when my hands and my eyes are occupied, but my mind's not especially occupied, like I'm doing the dishes or maybe doing some exercise or driving someplace. It's a good time to be alone with your thoughts. Because my eyes, my brain are occupied, I'm not scrolling through Twitter. I'm not checking my email. I mean, I'm listening to a podcast usually when I'm open to conversation, to really engaging. And so, I think we're just attuned, at least a lot of us are, to the sound of a human voice talking to us.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a little hard to explain when you're the podcaster because you're sitting in some quiet room and maybe there's foam around you. You're essentially feel like you're talking to yourself. But then when I listen to podcasts, I'm like, oh yes, like that must be the experience that somebody has when they listen to my podcast is that connection piece. And I think it's a really cool way to talk about stuff like this and to get information to people that really don't know where to look for this information, because it's particularly with healthcare, it is confusing for even professionals. It's confusing to figure out a lot of the different options and let alone if something happens to you and you get one of those big bills or whatever it may be, it's mind-blowing at times. So I think anything that can shatter that and maybe break that down a little bit is amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I think so too. And it's an interesting, like it's so overwhelming, right? Like stuff with healthcare. I talked with a woman who had the job for a while. She had some success in like negotiating with hospitals and stuff on behalf of people that she knew. And she and a guy she knew started a business. They were like, if we can kind of save a half dozen people $100,000, in a few weeks, that's a lot of money. Like we could take a little piece of that and do it at scale. And they, one thing they thought to do was to put out content to like help people figure out what to do. But what she said, one thing that she said was an obstacle was like the number of scenarios people could be dealing with, might as well be infinite. You can't write a guide. You can't write a guide for every crazy problem someone could have. And if you did, how would they find the one that they needed? So it's super like having being comprehensive is tough. And like the, you know, the internet is full of information about this stuff. But like we get overloaded with it really fast. And the other example that I'll just give is it's just legit overwhelming. So that in our first season, our most popular episode was called Why You Will Probably Pick the Wrong Health Insurance Plan and So Will I. And it was mainly an interview with this economist who had done a study that showed that people given an array of choices, where some of them are actually objectively, if you do the math, worse deals than others.
Right.
Lots of people will pick the worst deal.
Absolutely.
Because the terms are confusing. We're not able to quite do the math. And interestingly, his son was about to turn 26 and need his own health insurance. And he was like, well, I'm the guy who's going to help him do this. He said, I'm dreading this. I don't have any confidence that I'm going to make the best decision.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because there's so many variables. I actually went in that episode, I was like, whatever. I mean, I can make a spreadsheet. It's not that hard. There's a deductible. There's a premium. There's this, there's that. And I went in and talked with this woman who's a consumer advocate. And she was like, okay, smart guy. Well, did you know that your plan might have a separate deductible for pharma and a separate one for the emergency room and a separate one for this and a copay for that? How's your spreadsheet looking now? And I was like, my spreadsheet is looking awful. You know,
my spreadsheet is blown out.
Yeah, spreadsheet is, I'm done with this spreadsheet. So it's not, I think this is a thing. I mean, it's certainly a thing that I try to do. A lot of us feel, you know, it's easy to feel overwhelmed because it is actually overwhelming. And then it's easy to feel embarrassed and ashamed and shut down more. And I think, you know, again, like this happens a lot. When our bodies aren't doing what we hope and want them to do, we get embarrassed and ashamed and we shut down. This happens a lot when our money isn't what we want it to be. We get embarrassed and ashamed and we shut down. And so it's one of the things that I really want the show to do, that I really want to do with the show is to, you know, safe space here, people. Like we're here. This is real. It's not just you. We're in it together. I don't unfortunately have like answers for all of us, but we can at least start to have a real conversation. I think there's comfort in that. And, you know, it's a value add to my life to have real conversation about things that really matter.
Yeah. Cause the conversation starts, the dialogue, it breaks down those walls, I think, for people where it doesn't have to feel so scary or you don't have to feel so alone in being confused or in decision making. So I think conversations, I think, are just an amazing way to talk about these tough subjects. I'm curious though, what are some of the subjects that you're going to cover in season two? Are you changing the focus from season one?
There's two things. I mean, the focus is so broad, right? Like healthcare costs. Yeah. What do I do? I'm overwhelmed. You know, we tell stories. The two things that are, or three things that are distinguishing season two, like the big themes. One is just, you know, we put out the call in season one saying, you know, hey, send me your stories. And people really did. So had the biggest piece of work in planning season two wasn't finding stories. It was choosing. It was like, okay, which ones, and which meant, you know, putting aside a whole bunch of really compelling stories. So a bunch of stories from people directly from listeners, which I just love doing and feels good. And they're amazing stories and they're instructive stories. One is about a couple who, had been doing everything right. And then got dumped, but got a letter from their insurance company saying, we're dumping you. You didn't pay. And they were like, we paid. And they found out later they'd sent their payment to the wrong place. They'd sent it in this health system that was providing their insurance. They had addressed the payment to a hospital where they were getting treatment in that health system. And the health system, you know, one hand didn't talk to the other. And the hand that was the insurance was like, nah, we're done with you. And they were pregnant.
Oh, no.
And then the pregnancy ran into complications and they ended up in the hospital. So it's a roller coaster of a story. They came out okay. They're all right.
Okay, good.
It's a great, and they're great people. Totally just, it's fun to listen to. So there's those stories. And then we spend a lot of the season exploring prices. Like, how did these prices get so crazy? What's the story with them? So we just did one,
I heard from people, again, listeners were like, had stories about crazy prices for MRIs. One woman had gone for an MRI and her bill was $1,600. And she was like, that can't be right. That's got to be before insurance, right? But no, the before insurance was $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And she needed, I mean, she was like, I could do that once, but I can't, you know. And she has been living with brain cancer for 10 years and she's fine, knock wood, but she gets MRIs every 6 months. She was like, I'm not going to do that if I can help it in 6 months. So she shopped around and got the next one cost her $87 and they gave her chocolate chip cookies on the way out. So it's, and we learned a little bit about why the prices are so all over the place. And then, we did the same thing for prescription drugs and really kind of got to the bottom. Like I have a prescription that I refill. We got new insurance at the beginning of the year. I called the drugstore when the prescription came up and the robot voice was like, your cost will be $720. And 69 cents. And that's ready for pickup. And I was like, you're kidding.
What?
Yeah. I was like, but you know, I brought my insurance card to the pharmacy, the new insurance card. And they were like, oh no, your copay is $0. I was like, that is awesome. But I was super confused. And so I was like, I'd been like, talk about overwhelming. The topic of how prescription drug prices happen was one that I'd been avoiding. I was just like, that is too hard. But I was like, I got to take it on. And we kind of cracked it. It's a crazy, interesting story about this incredible knot of backroom deals and who appears to be making the money from them. And it's super, I mean, I think that's the other thing about doing the show is that like, even though it's overwhelming, we can't be comprehensive. It is a little bit cheerful to feel a little less, to feel a little smarter, right? To feel a little less confused.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm aiming for that. So I think we got that. And then, you know, with the price of insulin is our third kind of big price story. And that is a story where we hear all the time and we know, and many of us have friends who are type 1 diabetics, like it's unbelievably expensive. It seems like a racket. And a lot of times if you read news stories, they'll mention that the people who discovered insulin were like university researchers in Canada almost 100 years ago who didn't even want to patent it. They didn't want to see it as something that people should make money off of. It's like, how did we get here? And it turns out there's an amazing book about those researchers and what they went through. And their story is insane. It's hilarious in parts. And how they ended up essentially feeling like they had to allow commercial companies to get involved is really revealing and tells us a lot. And it's an interesting story and I'm not going to spoil it, but the other thing that we found was that there are, we also talked to people who are pushing against it in different ways. I mean, there's lots of advocacy and it's kind of inspiring. There's also a group of people in Oakland, California, in this kind of funky little basically amateur lab who are trying to cook up like a recipe for homebrewed insulin that they want to share.
I love that.
Yeah. And there are people who are currently, I mean, there's all kinds of obstacles to that, but there are people who are currently using an artificial pancreas system to like monitor and dose themselves that uses old hacked equipment that they say is better than the latest, most expensive equipment. And that they started out basically just like a bunch of rogues, you know, with modems, like trying to help each other figure out the software. So that was super fun. Like people are really working on this stuff.
It does breed entrepreneurship in its purest form, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, it's like, let's figure out how to crack the code and solve a problem and help a lot of people at the same time. So I love to hear those stories.
Yeah. I mean, in these cases, these people are doing it, you know, not as entrepreneurs looking to make money. They're just looking to solve a problem that in these cases is a problem that they themselves live with. They're like, this is, you know what's going to make me money? Not having to pay hundreds of dollars for insulin.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a loaded question as a last question, but you know, to end on a positive note, from everything that you've learned thus far, like how do we as consumers that have to participate in healthcare, you know, how can we arm ourselves the best way? Are there any gems that have come out for you in doing these episodes so far where you're like, okay, that would be like an awesome thing for somebody to know?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned earlier that there, you know, this woman I talked to who was like, I'm going to start the business with all the tips. And it's like, I don't know, you know, it's only a really great tip if it's the tip that you need right now. So there are, you mentioned earlier that hospitals are often open to negotiation, and that's true. And that's a long, I'm very interested in that as a kind of season three theme of like consumer self, like what's a consumer self-defense kit? What's a basic kit, right? I'm super interested in that. I would say like, listen to the show because you'll get less alone and less afraid and a little bit entertained. But some things that are kind of concrete, you know, are one, if you're shopping for insurance, even though it's overwhelming and horrible, if you have a choice of plans, the best advice I got was to make a very basic chart that just do the math, use a spreadsheet, or you can do it on the back of an envelope. And you basically ask yourself two questions. One, what might I pay next year for healthcare if I don't go to the doctor at all? Like I'm just paying this premium on the monthly premium on this thing. And then two, what happens if I get by a bus? God forbid, right? Like what if there's some kind of astronomical, costly, horrible thing that happens to me? What does my situation look like? And, you know, as the economist I talked to said, like there are plans that will actually be, if you're comparing two plans, one of them might actually be worse for you in both scenarios because of the way the math goes.
Yes.
So you can filter that out. And you can also make an informed decision where it's like, you could also kind of chart a middle path. If you want a third column, what's like, all right, I take these meds, you know, whatever. These are the things I know I'm going to do. I see this doc. How does this plan do for me there? So those are like in choosing health insurance in a kind of financial planning sense, like that's worth like cracking open a beer and setting aside an hour or two to do if you have a chance to choose. That I think is probably like from a big picture financial planning sense, like that may be my biggest piece of advice. There's ways to negotiate things with the cost of drugs. There are discount programs. There's a company called GoodRx that makes it easy to access discounts. Yep. And there's others. They have competitors and it's worth checking them all out. And my brother just called me and said, oh yeah. And then the guy at the pharmacy told me I should look up the company that makes this drug because they might have a coupon, and they did. So like, okay, great.
Wow.
Yeah, right. It's like just never assume that the sticker price is the price you really need to pay. Think of it. Think anybody who presents you with a tab or bill for healthcare, you might want to think of them as like someone trying to sell you a used car. You know, just be like, all right, well, what about this? What about that? I mean, the negotiation is a little different because they're not just trying to hustle you, but you want to think about it as a negotiation. You want to think about it as a negotiation.
I think that's awesome. That's like such a great tip. And everything that you're talking about is just a lot what we talk about on the show. It's just being proactive and moving yourself from that place of complete fear and stress into, let me just try like one or two things, or let me just poke around or ask a question, and you just never know what could happen with just a few small little actions, especially when it comes to healthcare. So I think that is amazing advice.
All right. Thanks. Cool.
Well, Dan, tell everyone where they can go to listen to all of the episodes of An Arm and a Leg podcast.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we are An Arm and a Leg. So if you get podcasts, you should just go wherever you get podcasts and look for An Arm and a Leg. If you're not kind of in podcasting apps and listening to other ways, we're in most of the places you would expect to find us. Our website is armandalegshow.com. And all of our episodes are there. And you can sign up for our newsletter there. You can send us stories there. There are cute pictures there sometimes. So that's our site is armandalegshow.com, or just look for An Arm and a Leg wherever you get podcasts.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode, and a big thanks to our sponsors that make this show possible. Remember to subscribe in your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode. But before you leave, I want to empower you to embrace where you are today, the good and the not so good. And remember, nothing lasts forever. Just keep taking small steps every day and remember how awesome you truly are.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.